and action. Who's first to do one?
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
That bullshit. They are my opinions. That's me, Shauna, and my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlin's ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Also, please don't do anything that these stupid people do in this video or this podcast. Oh, and please, obviously, don't go out killing people. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show. Perspective. What is up, Paraebs? It is Wednesday, 6/30/2022. I'm so sorry for last week. I worked late and forgot to upload part two for Charles D. Moissant. But you get to hear it tonight. And in other news, join me, Shauna, with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective and founder of my awesome paranormal group, Geeks Paranormal, at the Arkansas Paranormal Expo, Little Rock, Arkansas, weekend of October 29th and 30th. This year, they're celebrating their 10th year anniversary, supporting the awesome MacArthur Museum of Arkansas Military History. All proceeds go to the MacArthur Museum, which is incredible, amazing. General admission is $10 per day, starts at 0900 hours on both Saturday and Sunday, and ends at 1700 hours. That's Central Time. So come out, join us, see us at our vendor booth, catch other speakers such as Ken Gerhardt, awesome guy, EPP's friend Keith Age, and Tina and Adrian Scaff. It is going to be awesome, amazing. We hope to see you there. That's October 29th and 30th. Now, on with the show.
And then others, you know, got blessed, you know, in different ways, you know.
Well, they were expecting a lot of people to succumb and rely on just government handouts.
Yeah.
And when people
it's because what I really found fascinating with the Gestalt mentality of the pandemic is the strong sense of grit that we still have, that we figured out how to pull through. We figured out how to work together. There was compliance with decisions of the government, whether some considered it positive or negative. And the true great thing about it is that people figured out how to do things. You know, for example, during my time with the pandemic, put together Outer Planet Panic. That's when I worked on the artwork. I worked with Pascal Sinclair, who is an amazing artist who immigrated from Haiti. When we worked together on the style, he was key for getting it done. And then I worked on the color palette, which was all just fluorescent color and black. That's it. So brown does not exist. Natural colors don't exist. It's only fluorescent colors. And figuring out how to combine it using the dot pattern similar to the old comics was quite fascinating. Like, you know, putting together green, fluorescent green and fluorescent red together as dots, you have the illusion of a copper color.
Yep. Wow, dot painting is very interesting.
Yes. you know, and had I not, you know, discovered comics or gone that route, that would have been very difficult, you know, to have come up with. And I think the other advantage of the pandemic, you know, is, as I mentioned, the sense of grit and how people got very creative. Like you started doing your podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, and I was also doing the website for DeadCon too. So.
Right. You know, and so what other positives came from the lack of the normal 9 to 5, the normal commute, the normal way of doing things? You know, what were the positives that you came out with?
Oh gosh, I got to spend more time with my family. I got to watch my little girl do her schoolwork and everything. I got to spend more time with my youngest son. My oldest son ended up getting married last year. And
God bless him.
Right? So I had a lot of blessings. I'd rather work from home than go to the office every day, because now that I have to go to the office every day, I don't... It's summertime and the kids are home, so I don't get to spend any time with her. And it just feels like I could take my breaks and get a load of dishes done or a load of laundry. And instead of just staring at office walls or walking to my truck, and
right.
I could do stuff around the house, to where now I'm back in the office and it's lame because there's no windows. I can't look out my window here and see the squirrels running across the backyard or my daughter outside playing. It's just, I would rather work from home, and I would love to try to get this podcast out there more. So eventually maybe one day I will be able to work from home.
and that's the positives,
the love, the family, right. The closeness.
Right. Now, you know, for me, it was having the time, you know, to explore myself as an actual artist, to develop as an artist instead of as a, you know, one thing I'm good at is I see you have a certain skill set. I see someone else with a certain skill set. I see 4 or 5 other people as a skill set. Now, what if I put all these different skill sets together as a quote team, and what can we develop? So I'm very good with that. You know, people call it networking, people call it producing, things like that. And often I would not explore myself as an artist, but I would only go so far and then have somebody else take it home. And now I'm actually comfortable enough to do art myself, which has been really quite fascinating, especially with the convention circuit. For example, one thing I'm starting to do now is develop custom posters for conventions. So let's say Convention X says, "Hey, Charles, we'd like to have you as a guest at our show." And it costs money, of course, to do that. When they cover your hotel, they cover your table, they cover your transportation. So a little way that I'm able to get back is we create a custom poster.
Yeah.
And then the convention sells it. And after it gets to a break-even point, you know, let's say that there's 100 posters created and it takes 50 posters to sell at a break-even point. After that, then we just do profit sharing. So then we both win and the convention still ends up ahead. I, in essence, was free for the convention.
Yeah.
And I get a little grace as well. And then we get to promote the brand. We get to, you know, show off cool stuff. If I bring different guests with me, guest artists or guest people or new people, it turns out to be fun. You know, you mentioned the one artist, you know, wow, that he's going on his own direction, you know, now. I've worked with Doug Rice, and I would love to have him interviewed on your show. He won an Emmy for his work on Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs.
Pinky and the Brain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Doug Rice.
You got that. Oh, God, I wish I could find the voice actor for Pinky, because it was just so uppity. And what are we going to do today, Brian? what are we going to do today, Brian?
Yes.
And then you got the grumpy old, like, Walter, like I'd like to say, from Jeff Dunham.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Now, I should give you a couple more connections. Lynette Eklund actually built some of the puppets for Jeff Dunham.
Really?
Yes. And do you remember Teddy Ruxpin?
Yes.
She was the one who fabricated the prototypes for Teddy Ruxpin and the glowworm.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember Species?
Who?
Species.
Species, yes. The movie?
Okay.
The scary. Yes.
Guess who did the suit for Species?
She did?
Yep.
No way. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yes, that would be awesome to have her on the show.
And because of the size of her matching the actress, the actress was not available for a cover shoot, and they just said, hey, Lynette, put the suit on. Okay. So she's the one. Yes.
Sweet.
How cool is that?
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Because that was a really creepy ass movie.
The second one was more creepy, but the first one I liked more because it wasn't as, forgive the wording, porno-y as the second one. The first one was just,
it was scary enough. It was just enough that you got the concept of what they wanted, what they were there for, and then you moved on.
Right. It's an ultimate parasite.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
You ever know it?
Nope. Do you remember watching Jurassic Park?
Yes.
She did the skins for the animatronics.
Wow. She is a great artist.
Yeah. Yeah. And now what's really cool is she has her own book out now that she worked with another Disney artist who's current, who's a sculptress. Terry is her name, but Lynette Eklund and Terry are doing a children's book and have done it. And they're starting a second one, and they've been traveling the country. So
cool.
To get back to my earlier subject, I'm planning on bringing my mom to some of these conventions, and somebody's like, why would you bring your mom? Well,
why not?
Yeah, that. But are you familiar with Second City?
Second City or Sex in the City?
No, Second City.
Oh, no.
Gutter mind.
It was a TV show.
yeah. But look up Second City, and she was involved with some of the early people with Second City, with Chicago. Like Patinkin and others. So she has lots of stories she could tell. She used to teach drama, and she's been in the TV show Shameless.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm looking.
Yeah.
Second City, choose your location.
Chicago. Yeah. And then just look up the history, you know, and so there's some really neat stuff. She actually helped Viola something, I forgot her last name, with writing a book by connecting her to her contacts at her college. And her uncle, which is my great uncle, actually was military and was a president of the Bedell School of Journalism. Also wrote the Korean Constitution, because he was lent from the Marines, I believe, to the Army. In assistance. And of course, after that, the Korean War broke out. So the joke is, wasn't the best constitution, or it was too good. Now I'm mentioning military stuff on my grandfather's side, my mother's side. What's really cool about him was at the age of 14, he had gotten a scholarship for the Art Institute of Chicago. So he was an artist early then, you know. He joined the war early. He was like only 17 years old and ate a bunch of bananas to the end, right? Was in World War II, World War I.
Oh,
Saved a kid from the Thames at the time and was given an award from the French president for his bravery. Had a giant 45 sidearm, you know, went out of line once to shake a general's hand, which could have gotten shot. But the general was like, you know, nice to meet you. When he got back to stateside, made a painter's union, created a painter's union for Chicago.
Wow.
And his father, from what I understand, was one of the founding members of the Teamsters.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Crazy? Yeah. That so the joke, crazy. Right. So the joke I'm making is you've heard of people who discover their blue blood?
Yeah.
I've discovered I'm blue collar blood. So sorry. it's some neat stuff. But back to the second city and
Dan Aykroyd,
right? Wow. Right, all these people came from
Stephen Colbert, yeah.
Yep. You know, and so what I'm hoping and what my mom would love to do is if we're both invited to conventions, that she would put on small workshops about drama and acting and whatnot, and some people can literally get second city training during a panel.
That would be interesting.
Right?
Definitely, especially those that are really striving to go out there and become a star.
Yeah, or become fun, you know?
I like being fun. I'd rather be fun.
Yes. Well, that's why you're on the cool list.
Exploring the paranormal perspective. We'll be right back.
By the way, I'm Charles DeMasant of Silver Phoenix Entertainment, and you have just watched me exploring the paranormal perspective with the amazing Shauna. She is definitely on the cool list, and you are going to have a delightful, great time in the show. And no, I will not cut my hair.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Shauna. Welcome back.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, but, I was going to say something else.
Oh, boy. Do we need censors on this one?
Well, we would have, yeah, because I was going to talk about those snobby stars that are in Hollywood right now. And how I would not want to be them, and how I was so disappointed with the majority of them during the pandemic and during the election that I was like, why are you using your platform for that?
my thought too is sometimes people have asked me to get very political, and my thought is I just want to entertain, you know, that's why Spider-Man No Way Home, in my opinion, did so well, because it did what a movie is supposed to do, entertain.
Yes. Exactly. You know? Venom was great, too.
Yes.
Oh, I am so proud of Sony and what they've done with Venom. Tom Hardy could not be the better pick for Venom.
Right. Oh, my God. And then with the voice, for, you know, you ever like repeat a line from a movie and you just keep saying it over and over again? Well, I came up with a line and it was just ridiculous. And it didn't happen in the movie, but I just kept imagining Venom saying this, Eddie, you're a poof. And I just imagined him just saying it. I kept repeating it to myself. And now I'm convinced, like, did it happen in the movie? Is it on the cutting room floor? You know, did it happen in a parallel universe where the Venom calls Eddie a poopy? Yes.
I was a little disappointed in Carnage, though.
Yeah.
Because I felt like the end was really way too fast. Woody Harrelson playing Carnage was epic.
My favorite line is like, I'm not going to quote it correctly, but like, oh no. What do you mean, oh no? That's a red one.
Yeah. Yeah, and he goes back and he goes, what are you doing? Come out. You better come out.
Yeah, swipe. Some of the writers from Rick and Morty.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, Rick and Morty is awesome.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
There are so many times that I've watched my husband watch it. I'll sit there and watch it over his shoulder, and I'm just like, well, that was cool.
So would you say you're the Rick and your husband's the Morty? Or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. Definitely the other way around.
Oh my God. It just escalates, to where it's, how do you think of these things? That's right? What I enjoy about the show is often I can see what will happen in a movie, what will, it's like this and this and this and this should happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not been able to do that with Rick and Morty for the most part. It's like,
no. What? It's amazing every time. It's kind of funny because it reminds me a lot of South Park.
Right.
And the unbelievable, oh my God, they went there kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I love that because these writers and these artists don't give a fuck when anybody says. And
no.
They're like, I don't care if you like it or not. Either you're going to like it or you're not going to like it. And that's kind of like how I am with my show. Yeah. You're going to like it or you're not going to like it. You're not going to please everybody and you're not going to make everybody happy. So
that's why you have 500 million fans.
I wish I had so many fans.
On a parallel world.
Right.
So what is your Patreon page?
My Patreon page is Geeks Paranormal.
That is so cool.
But yeah.
You just reminded me of a creepy thing that happened to me in Alabama.
Oh,
that was semi paranormalish. Like I felt the state hated me for a while because I had a traumatic experience when I was a kid. But there was a writer who lived in a. I almost have the belief that Cthulhu or Lovecraft monsters live in Alabama. After this
I would
experience.
Not be surprised to tell you the truth.
It
have
was,
you seen the love bug?
No, I don't know. But this I don't get heebie-jeebies easily, but this is my heebie-jeebie moment.
Oh.
This writer guy kind of was like putting us, and this was a convention called Necronomicon in Florida. And this writer got myself and another artist as a guest. And, and the writer wanted us to pick him up. So I'm like, okay, we'll pick you up. So we go pick him up, and he makes a wild goose chase. They almost seemed like desperate to get us to get home, but wanting us to go with them. So I'm like, okay, so we go. And the guy's a bit of a cat hoarder. I did not realize how bad of a cat hoarder he was.
Uh-huh.
But apparently keeps the cadavers in a freezer because he's too weak to bury them. And I think he has about 60 or 70 cats on property.
Disturbing.
Yeah. But that's not the disturbing part. So we bring him home and it's late at night. And one of the cats is literally flattened, with visceral and everything all around it. Of course, she's panicking, comes out of the car. And this is like near the witching hour, 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Driving at that night, that time. But he's panicking. Say again?
Is it backwoods, Bama?
Yes. Yes, it is. You are smart.
So,
you know, the artist is kind of like a little freaked out because he's, you know, he's like, I just put that cat 3 days ago and then now it's dead. And I noticed that the driveway, it almost seemed like a threshold. You could almost see like almost like a glowing line. Then the writer gets out of the car. He tilts his ear up like he's listening to something. I'm like, okay, this is weird. And he says, I got to go into the house. He runs into the house. Then he runs back out. And it looks like he's listening to something. And he's trying with all of his might to invite us in to stay overnight. That was weird. And then my intuition is starting to pick up, like, be very cautious. Then the frogs start getting louder. The crickets start getting louder. I'm literally hearing rustling in like the vegetation. I'm like, okay, this is getting a little too weird.
Then, I got tells from the crypt door.
9 cats right up behind all sit in a perfect line and all of their heads are moving simultaneously. The tails are all wagging. It's identical. They're all echoing each other as he's trying to beg us to spend the night at his place. And then the artist is like, he's about to step over the threshold as we're out of the car. And it's like, should we spend the night? And I'm like, no, get in the car now. I physically pushed him back into the car. I took all of the writer's things out of the car, leaned over without stepping over the threshold, put them all there. And the writer just was staring as if something else was talking through him. And the cats, you know, with their creepy eye glow, and I love cats, but you know, instead of the green shine, they had a reddish shine to their eyes. And the frogs are just louder and louder to where it's almost deafening. And I said, is this all your stuff? And then the writer says, tells me that every night they go to an area where they have a noose set up and he thinks about ending it. And then he decides not to because the cats need him. And then I said, okay, we are leaving now. I get into the car and I'm driving. Now I'm driving. I have failed my fried chicken. I am terrified. I'm just zooming, you know, through these empty side streets and buildings that look like they're built in the 1920s. And I am moving. Shoom! A sign goes by. Shoom! Another sign goes by. You know, street signs. I'm blowing stop signs. And the artist with me says, slow down. Like, why? Shoom! Speed limit sign goes by. Please slow down. Another sign goes by. And I look down. I'm doing 108 miles an hour.
Wow.
So, okay. So I get my composure. I don't want to be pulled over. So I slow down. We're driving. And we are dead tired. We find a hotel. There's only one car there. There's no other cars. We go there. And we go in to check in. And I talk to the clerk. I'm like, hey, we'd like a room tonight. And he has that same possessed look as the writer did. And he says, all the rooms are full. I'm sorry, sir. We don't have any rooms. They're all occupied. And I look to the artist. I'm like, let's get out of here. I then drive. And it is very, very, we're dead tired. We find another place, which seemed almost like a hotel resort that was semi-abandoned. Mm-hmm. It's 8 in the morning. The guy says, you can sleep until 11, and then you have to check out. He charges full price, but I needed to sleep, so I slept 3 hours, right?
Right.
So finally, as I'm leaving Alabama, literally at the state border, As we cross the state border, bam, a weird symbol just pops into the driver's side, right where my forehead should be, of a symbol that looks similar to the Blair Witch symbol. I photographed a long time ago, but it was this weird double crack that almost seemed like a person's arm out with a behind him and two little legs to the side. It almost looked like the save symbol from the game, but it was weird how it just appeared in the window.
Wow. And
you were leaving Alabama. And for the longest time, I was terrified to go through Alabama. And a couple, you know, about 2 years later, I had to drive through. And when I entered Alabama, boom, another crack in the windshield happened. And then I left Alabama on my way from Florida to Mississippi. You know, so I was like, okay, there's something about Alabama that doesn't want me. So what I did was I had a priest bless the car. I did fully repair the window. And then I had a what I call the Mobile Blessing. And Gamers and Geeks invited me to the show. I was terrified. But everything went nice in Alabama. You know, there was no Cthulhu weirdness, no bats, no disturbing frogs. I also did a convention in Montgomery, which was wonderful, SoCon, which I did some artwork for. That was phenomenal. And for some reason now, Alabama has decided to show me respect, and Alabama has decided not to pull me in forever. Because I've noticed with Mississippi and Alabama, they almost seem to try to siphon you in and keep you there permanently.
EPP will be right back.
We've all heard of Area 51, the U.S. government's top secret base in the Nevada desert. But have you ever heard of Area 52 or 53 or 54? 54? How about Tonopah Test Range or the Navy's secret base inside the Bermuda Triangle? Find out about them and more in Mac Maloney's Beyond Area 51, Mysteries of the World's Most Forbidden Places. Did Richard Nixon show Jackie Gleason a crashed alien spaceship near the swamps of Florida? Is it true that more UFOs are seen over a small Scottish village than anywhere else in the world? And is there a secret place in Russia that some people think is heaven on earth? In Mac Maloney's Beyond Area 51, you'll visit more than a dozen top secret places around the globe. The haunted forests of New Jersey. A valley in Colorado where shadows come alive and humans can fly without wings. And where's the only secret base in America that's not been visited by UFOs? You've heard Mac talk all about these places on his radio show. Now you can read all about them yourself. That's Mac Maloney's Beyond Area 51, Mysteries of the World's Most Forbidden Places. Now on sale at Amazon.
Be careful what you wish for.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark Nola Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome Welcome back to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
Have you ever had space alien encounters?
I have. I've never actually met one in person, but I have seen a UFO quite a few times in my life.
Okay. The only space alien experience I could, two things I could share is, and it may have been just a dream, but I remember a group carrying me. This was from my house, you know, by a neighbor's yard. I started to come to, and they looked a little panicked, and then they put something over my mouth, and then I woke up in my bed. And that's the only thing I remember from that. And then when I was little, you know, somebody told me that I might be astral traveling. But I would lay in the bed, close my eyes, and then I'd feel the sinking. And then I'd be in this blue prismatic area, able to travel to different areas and branches and things like that. And one person I talked to told me that could be why I'm good with fortune telling. You know, when I do tarot cards at conventions or intuitive palm reading, you know, where I really don't know the meanings of it, but I feel things from the hand, you know, so who knows? But that's the only thing. When things go, you know, you got change of direction and, you know, with a larger vehicle, you know, a smaller vehicle can, because of the mass, can turn a lot faster.
Yep.
But a larger vehicle, you know, has to take time to turn because of the mass, you know, added to the momentum.
Exactly.
And when these things seem to break those rules of, here's this massive device, pin pop, boom, boom.
Exactly.
All logic says you should be splattered unless if it is a form of inertialess drive. And I've hypothesized about it just for fun, hypothesizing. Is what if inertialess drive is actually having a system, you know, if multiverses are real. But here you got a ship, you know, so this is the ship. And right now it's floating, and what the drive is doing is it's spinning to different dimensional points. So because, you know, maybe here in this dimension, gravity and the planet is this way. And if the normal gravity is down, if you have it attached to this planet on dimension Y and our planet at the same time, would that then cause zero buoyancy? And thus you're able to float. So then, if you need to move fast, you shift it to a gravity well that's over here. So you're literally falling in every single direction that you need to go. But because the drive is able to shift dimensionally to those different points of space, or maybe it's more attached to the fifth or sixth dimension, where we may be a shadow of the fifth or sixth dimension. And depending on how you aim the energy or the gravity well, can bring you in these different directions. But because of what we're experiencing on this dimension, as you shoot up or shoot here or shoot back, you actually don't experience inertia the way that you're supposed to.
Huh.
I just thought of that now, you know? So it's like we create a two-dimensional shadow, and it's a true two-dimensional image. You know, there's no depth to it. It's just width and height, and it can, you know, literally go anywhere on a three-dimensional surface. I also understand that a shadow is as fast as the speed of light, or faster, because when you have light casting it, it's instantaneous no matter where you're at, you know, even supposedly on the moon, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So could there be a way of dealing with those physics for faster than light travel, dealing with shadows? Or could there be a way of interacting with us, which might be a shadow from a higher dimension? So if we're a three-dimensional shadow, what are we on a higher dimension, and how do we interact? Then I started postulating, looking at us temporally. I thought about this morning before we talked, and I'm like, I'm so glad I can talk about it. Hey, the moment you're born and the moment you die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you took time and you blurred it all together, like you've done video editing, and if you have a person running, if you blurred all the frames together, they're just one line, correct?
Yep.
So in essence, if you want to look at it, maybe the Greek for right, that we are thread. So you got this, you know, thread, beginning of life, end of life, and it's just one continuous string. Now, you move back and forth, you loop here, you know, you and I are interacting now, so on and so forth. So there's an intertwining. Well, what is a tapestry? An intertwining of different threads,
yep.
Or us as life from beginning to end. You know, it's a finite amount of thread, but then you have other threads that pick it up, that continue on. And so what if there is a way to interact with the higher dimension that sees us not as this three-dimensional object, but as this entire thread?
Alternate, you know, realities.
Right. Or the beginning or ending of our life. And with playing with the, you got the predestination, you got fate, and then you got free will, which we're very lucky to have on top of that. Because at one point, if we experience time the way that we experience time sequentially and only in one direction, the memory, which is almost a holographic view of the past, you know, we can go to the past right now. It becomes more faulty as we age because of the chemical deposits and the chemical imprinting on the brain. You know, changes, degrades, cell dies, and so on and so forth. So our past, except for empirical proof, becomes more muddied, more faded, more frayed, more distant, more black and white and faded, instead of rich and robust and colorful as it is now. Tomorrow's imagination, like imagining, you know, like you have imagined getting the game, getting it when you've bought the money, or when you get the money, anticipating playing it, but also at the same time, to your future self, that experience of the gaming is in the past and it's long distance. Unless if you expire before then, which we hope you don't.
Right.
Yeah. But
definitely.
How many people who maybe are good with psychic or psychometry, are they threads that are lucid? Are they threads that are out of place?
Hmm.
And then this got me to thinking about God's point of view. Okay, so take with me for a second. Have you ever watched a movie for the first time and you're like, oh my God, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And you never knew anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like No Way Home.
Yeah.
You know, you saw it, it was great. You said you're seeing it a second time, correct?
No Way Home? I've seen it three times.
Okay, so you've seen it three times. So the first time you experienced it, you had no idea what was going to be in the movie for the most part.
Right.
The actors within it, or the characters, just say that's reality, you know, for a moment. You know, this is just for the hypothesis game. The actors or the characters within the movie don't know what's going to happen either. And they go through their experiences, in and out, whatnot, and then you experience it with them. And then there's the end of the movie. Now you bring a new friend to it to see the movie. For them, they're going to have that same first experience like you had. Except for you now, you have already seen it. But to those characters in the movie, this is their first time. But you know everything that's going to happen in the movie. You, in essence, have a predestiny or a omnipresent vision of everything that's going to happen. So what's not to say that the divine host, God, has this point of view of us. So they, it, God, already knows everything that's going to happen, past, present, and future, because of the higher dimension being able to look down. But we're like the characters in the movie that, you know, it's supposed to happen a certain way. However, by having the free will, we can also slightly alter and change the movie, which the divine host will know, but we don't know because it keeps evolving and changing.
Yeah.
That is really something to think about. Oh my.
That's what I like.
Go ahead.
Go on. That's what I like to postulate sometimes.
Well, you had talked about like the psychics and the mediums and all that, that have that one piece of thread. You know, I think that sometimes people with those kind of gifts have a direct thread from, say, the needlepoint. And the rest of them are maybe the off threads that are different colors that are being shed out. Have you ever seen or ever read the book The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan?
I've heard of it.
They made a TV show on it. It's pretty good. Not directly like the book at all. So anybody that goes in and watches it thinking it's going to be the book, you're going to be disappointed a little bit. They talk about the will weaves as the will wills. So it's like a bunch of threading, and the women have this power that's like, whenever it flows like web, like threading. And it kind of got me thinking of that when you were talking about the psychics and how everybody is like this thread that kind of pulls out, because I think Robert Jordan may have had that same point of view. Everybody is like this thread that's getting weaved into this, whatever outcome the whole world ends up in. And some people are got the powers that the will wants them to have, and some people don't. The will being God.
Yes.
To me. Anyway, that's just me, guys. But I kind of get where you're going with that. I have really enjoyed our talk, and I'm going to have to get you back so we can talk some more, because delving into each other's minds like that is actually really, really interesting and really gets my geeky side out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And tell us where you're going to be at. What conventions are you going to?
I'm going to be at the Superman celebration. That's for sure. That's in Metropolis, Illinois. And there's a new convention that I'm about to close a deal with. It's a video game convention in New Jersey. Lonnie Welks, she's the one in charge of that one. I don't have the name, but I think it's New Jersey Gamer Convention. And also, this is big. This is big. DM Mercedes, really cool gentleman, and his group have invited me to play with them in a couple of Pathfinder games. So we're going to be competing for some cool stuff.
That's going to be fun. And what's that on? Is that on a YouTube channel or a TV channel?
I believe so. He has a YouTube channel, and there may be some SNL people on there too. So if my understanding is correct, I'll be having to keep my wits up against some SNL people. So I better keep on my toes.
We'll have to definitely get that link out there whenever you find out when it's going to be. That's going to be fun. I'd definitely like to watch it. I did see something on your page that I was talking to you about. The roller derby. It was, I watched a couple of the episodes on the channel. It was a gaming channel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, apparently there's another buddy of mine, Keith Flowers out of Alabama, who hand manufactures resin dice, and they're beautiful. It's an amazing art form that he does. And I'm actually designing some dice myself, and he's talked about manufacturing them when we get to that point. But I gave him a lead to a gentleman up in Canada, and Dwarf Dice. So I designed the logo for him. And he did a successful Kickstarter, and to help promote it, he reached out to GM Mercedes and a few other people, some random guests, and I forgot the name of the actors. I'm so bad with those names, so I apologize.
I'm bad with names too.
Yeah,
I understand.
But we did the game online, and I went out of my way as playing Ilka, who's from the Cockroach Fist. To not engage in physical combat, do everything through magic, guile, and trickery.
And you won?
Yeah, we won.
Sweet.
Yeah, I even messed up the campaign for the DM.
Oh, wow.
in the first part, because of what of the wild card that Ilka threw into it, he had to do a second 3-hour session.
That is cool. That's most of what I play on, like Guild Wars and ESO. I play mage stuff, yes. Magic stuff, yes. And a Tremere is what I was. Oh, cool. And Vampire the Masquerade.
Yes, yes. Well, I have to thank you for your grace and your kindness. I'm glad you enjoyed the various comic books. I'm also developing a new educational one about diabetic prevention through the Native American healthy lifestyle eating. So we'll see what happens. You know, doing the traditional foods, medicine, three sisters, which is corn, beans, and what's the third one? Corn, beans, and squash.
I love those vegetables. They're good. But well, I want to thank you for your time.
You've
given me quite a bit of your time today. Thank you so much for being on the show. Can't wait to have you back.
Woo!
And that concludes my interview with Charles D. Moisant. There's a lot more that we talked about and discussed, and if you want to catch that, you're more than welcome to once I get it up on my Patreon. Little bits and pieces will be on the YouTube channel at Geeks Paranormal. If you're going to go to any of the conventions that he has mentioned, I suggest you do so. He is a very awesome guy to talk to and discuss the awesome arts that he has created and masterminded. Don't forget to tune in next week. I will have a new show for you. What show will it be? Will it be a true crime? Will it be a geek search? Will it be another interview? Who knows? Come back next week to find out. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful evening and a wonderful rest of your week and have an even better weekend. Bye, y'all. Are you ready now? Feel it all over. Feel it all over. Feel it all over. Feel it all over. Letting it in, letting your guard down. You have a choice of letting it in, letting your guard down.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.